today on Real Radio.
Let him spank you with the spank of love. He's awesome, and he will answer the expectation of your heart.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at part of chapter 3, where John the Baptist paves the way, so to speak, for his cousin, Jesus of Nazareth, who is called Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Expectation of Every Man's Heart.
And Jesus said, and apparently with no panic in Jesus' voice, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you'll have no business with me at all forever. Lord, wash my head, my hands, from the top of my head down to the bottom of my feet. Jesus says, Peter, you're already clean. I just need to wash your feet. Isn't that funny? Peter's just like a pendulum, one way or the other. So dramatic. And so Peter says, you know, wash all of me, and that's okay. Just your feet needs to be washed. And Jesus washed his feet. And then Jesus sat down and then again girded himself and said to them, do you know what I've done? Do you guys know? Do you understand what I've just done? They didn't understand. And he said, isn't a servant greater than his master? They all went, yeah. And I'm master of you, right? Yeah. But why is it and how is it that I girded myself in a cloth and got this towel and I washed your feet? They're all quiet. He says, just know this, the one that's greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And I want you to turn from this moment on, I want you to turn and wash one another's feet. You guys, today we don't wash feet, but we have our thing. It may not be feet, but it may be something. What's personal in your life? To let another brother or sister in is an absolute impossibility to you. For example, it's just us here, so nobody needs to know this, but you don't need to see my garage. If you saw my garage, I'd be embarrassed. What is it for you? You say, Pastor, oh, wow, you know, your garage. Oh, yeah, well, what is it with you? Is it your closet? Is it behind your ears? Huh? What is it for you? Is it your car? What is it? What is it? All of us have it. It's the place where we can't let anybody in because, you know what, it's just too personal. Jesus says that if you love one another, you'll take care of these things that are most uncomfortable, most humbling toward one another. That's humility. I find in studying this message, for me, I have too much pride left in my life. Because you know what? I will mow my lawn if I'm sicker than a dog. I'll still mow it because I don't like the lines to be crooked. I want the lawnmower lines to be perfectly straight on the grass. You say, Jack, you're nuts. I want the lines perfectly straight. I may be nuts, but that's my thing. I'll be out there with the flu and a fever. Lisa, is the line straight? It's got to be straight. But there's something in your life that way. No one's ever come to my house and said, you know what? I really like being here because those lines are really straight. But we're all like this. Letting someone in personally. Let Jesus in personally in your life. Let him in. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we are to seek the face of God. And you know the verse, he'll heal our land and we repent of our sin. The word seek God's face means in Hebrew to be face to face with God, to allow God to be face to face with us. When you look face to face in the Lord's face, you melt. And pride can no longer be a part of your life. Oh, you may struggle with it, but you struggle with it. Amen and hallelujah to that. Another thing before we go on to the next point is this, that Jesus Christ alone brings true belonging. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Simply this regarding fire speaks about judgment and the second coming of Christ. The context dictates it to be so. I want you to focus on the fact that John says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I baptize you symbolically regarding water. Jesus is coming who will baptize you in factual ways with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. The Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, resides inside every true Christian. You need to pay close attention to what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say drew tears in the last service. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit dwells inside of every true believer. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is alongside every human being in this world, convicting them of sin. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit comes upon every believer willing to serve God. So you've got the non-believer who's being convicted by the Holy Spirit wherever he goes in the world, alongside him, para is the Greek word. Then you've got the Holy Spirit indwelling, residing, staying inside of, never to leave or forsake, the Christian. And then you also have the Holy Spirit coming upon the Christian who's willing to worship God in service. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay, it's very important. Why? Five things you need to jot down regarding belonging. Every one of us today desires to be owned by someone. Hear me out, don't panic. I'm not talking slavery. I'm talking about ownership of love. Every one of us, even for those who have been called to be single, desire to be owned by a family member, friends, you name it. We love it. We were designed that way. We don't do well alone. You say, well, I do fine alone. Not for long. Every one of us, we seek isolation from time to time, but we cannot reside alone. Every one of us desires a sense of belonging to be fulfilled in our lives, ownership. And the Bible says that God not only created you, but he owns you. But the truth of the matter is, you need to let God own you. It's got to be a relationship, a two-way street. And so when the Bible tells us here regarding Jesus Christ and how we read about this wonderful news of the Holy Spirit baptizing or dwelling inside or coming upon a believer, there's five key things that's a result of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the life of the believer. And I need you to ask yourself these questions. Is this true in your life? Last service, one man came up to me in tears because he wasn't sure. And he left this building with a smile. What's the result of the Holy Spirit dwelling within a believer? Number one, assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Jesus taught it. The apostles taught it. The Bible teaches it. That if you are a Christian, you will have assurance of your salvation. You won't be afraid of losing your salvation tomorrow or next month or 10 years from now. You will have assurance of your salvation. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you will come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You will have assurance of your salvation because that's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of God's children. God will never allow you to live a fragile, insecure life in the family of God. Why? God does not commit spiritual abortions, people. You may be insecure in your relationship with God, but it's not because of God. It's because you've been taught that you're to live that way. And it's wrong. Maybe you're insecure in your walk with God because you can be saved on Sunday but lose it on Monday because that's what some manipulative ministry or denomination taught you to think. You can't find it in the Bible. Understand this. You need to be set free today. And this man came up to me and he had tears in his eyes and he said, I think I've denounced Christ. And I said, why? He goes, because I backslid a couple years ago and I've been so filled with guilt. And I said, well, you know what? Let's just make sure right now. Give me your Bible. Oh, all right. I took his Bible from him. I said, let's go out in the parking lot and burn this right now. And I want you to denounce Christ to me right now, verbally now. He said, I could never do that. And I said, here's your Bible back. You're under condemnation. You haven't been rejected by God. How do you know? Do you want him? Yes. He put that in your heart. He wants you with him more than you want him. He does? Yes. You can't burn the Bible. You can't denounce Christ. Now get up and walk in obedience with him. And his obedience to him is to say this: there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the fact, and that's the truth. We need to get up and we need to walk in that, which breeds, number two, boldness in this world. We will not be afraid because we have the assurance of our salvation, which the Holy Spirit will breed boldness in our lives. We'll be bold. I'm not talking about being foolishly bold like I was the other day. Foolishly, this is different. I saw in the news that Walmart is telling no more Jesus at Walmart. A Christian company. They kicked Jesus out. Their employees can only say happy holidays. I saw that, and I was in Washington, D.C. I figured I'm 3,000 miles from home. I'm safe. So I had to get some earplugs for my ears. I was not sleeping in the hotel room I was in. Too much noise. I walked into the Walmart. In the end, I got the little Santa Claus hats on. They can wear Santa Claus hats. Jesus offends people, but Santa Claus hats. Go figure. What's the connection? I don't get it. I've never seen Santa Claus hanging on a cross. And I certainly haven't seen Santa Claus in a manger. Anyway, they're standing there with their little Santa hats on in, where was I? Somewhere in D.C., Georgetown. Walk in there, and I walked in, and I was feeling spunky because I saw the news broadcast. It ticked me off. That's a Hebrew word for being very moved with holy anger. And I walked in there, and I said, Merry Christmas! I just walked right in the wall, Merry Christmas! And the guy at the greeter at the front door goes, Merry Christmas to you. And I said, you're not supposed to say that. I just saw it on the news an hour ago. You're not supposed to say that. He goes, what? I go, didn't they tell you you're not supposed to say that? Yeah, but you said it. And I think if you say it, we can say it back. And I said, well, that's pretty good. Merry Christmas. He goes, Merry Christmas. We're having t-shirts made up, by the way, in light of the news broadcast. We're having t-shirts made up about Jesus is Christmas and all this stuff. We'll get them to you soon. And I want you to wear them into every Walmart and every Target you go to. And so, that's being bold in a stupid way. I'm not talking about that kind of boldness. Holy Spirit boldness. God, when the moment comes for you to share Christ, you'll be able to do it. In fact, you'll be surprised when it's over. I can't believe I did that. It wasn't you doing it. It's the Lord in you. Number three, assurance, boldness. Number three, awareness of the world around you. When the Holy Spirit resides in the life of a believer, because the Holy Spirit is looking out through your little peepers, your little eyes, you're going to look around, and that's why you'll look at somebody and you'll be moved with compassion for them. That's not human. You'll see somebody and you're very aware of your surroundings. That's God in you. You'll see a little boy with his dirty face and the snot running down his nose and the holes in his shoes and he's got little dirty fingernails and he's poor and you can't live the rest of that day without helping that little guy. That's not you. That's the Spirit of God living through you. And you become very aware of the world that's around you. Number four, meaning or fulfillment. The Christian who's got the Holy Spirit living in him, residing in him, will have a keen sense of his life having fulfillment and meaning, a purpose, and all of us want that. Number five, endurance. Endurance. You know how the Bible says, he who endures unto the end shall be saved? You ever panic about that? You don't have to panic about that. You can say, Lord, your Bible says, the one that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Lord, your Holy Spirit dwells within me. It's you who's at work in my life. I know I'm going to make it. So, Lord, do what you want to do. Keep me out of it. Does this make sense to anybody? Yeah. I tell you, it excites me to no end because it's all of God. I just get to worship him, love him, and be with him. Amen. I love it, and I'm out of time. Let's keep going. Verse 17, actually, that was the bulk of it. It's all downhill from here. The expectation of every man's heart, verse 17, is the authority of Christ. Not only the supremacy, but the authority of Christ. Look at this. Christ alone has the right to judge regarding his authority. His winnowing fan is in his hand. You know what John is saying? Only Jesus has the authority to judge people. John doesn't. I don't. You don't. So, Pastor, God's given me the gift of judgment. No, he hasn't. Jesus alone is the judge. It's his authority. He alone is judge. Jesus said in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, that it's the Father that has committed all judgment unto the Son. Did you know that? I think that's why Jesus is so hated in the world. In the end, they're going to be shocked to find out that Jesus is the judge. Can you imagine? Hey, who's this guy? Oh, he's the one that when John in the book of Revelation saw him, he was a lamb as though he had been slain, that was found worthy to take the scroll and loose its seals and open the seals thereof. And he judged the world in righteousness. Wow. Jesus alone, my friend, is judge. Number two under this point, verse 17, Jesus alone has the knowledge to judge. Jesus, as we shall see in the Gospel of Luke, as we shall see and we can agree with today, Jesus knows our thoughts. Right now, he is seated in heaven. Right now, he knows our thoughts. And right now, for every believer, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you communicates and relates and ministers our situation before the very throne of God. Christ alone knows the judgment. When it says in verse 17, and he will gather the wheat into his barn. It's talking about the time of the great harvest when Christ returns and the second coming. And he goes on that Christ alone will be the power to judge. It says that the chaff will be burned up with unquenchable fire. This is an amazing word. You ought to circle the word unquenchable. Mark it. You know the word. In Greek, you know it. It's the word in Greek, asbestos. The judgment that Christ will give to those who had rejected him in this world, who didn't need the Holy Spirit, who didn't need the salvation, who didn't need God, said they'd do it on their own. I'll talk to God if he's even real. I'll tell him about sin or this or that. The Bible says that person will be judged with a fire that can never be extinguished. It's an interesting word. It's a fire. It's a fiery judgment, and the judgment of that fire is never extinguished. That's why the Greek word is asbestos. The fire itself is never burned out. It's an eternal fire. It's terrible, but it doesn't have to be. And finally, we end in our third point, verse 18. The expectation of every man's heart is the totality of Christ. The supremacy of Christ, the authority of Christ, and the totality of Christ. Verse 18, and with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Will you mark this? The word exhortation, I love it. Will you allow me to put it to you like this? With exhortations, he preached to them. This is what it means. John stood and looked at those precious people on the side of the riverbank soaking wet. And he spoke to them only. So the guys, you know, the guys that wouldn't get wet, the guys that wouldn't agree with God, John's not speaking to them. He's speaking to those that have all entered into the water of baptism. And John goes like this. You! And you get a little smile on his face. This is what's implied. Not that he smiled. What's implied is this. You! Now that I have your attention, let me tell you a few other things. You start believing the scriptures now of all the Old Testament prophets of what they told and spoke about you. You understand from this moment on that what the Bible said is true. From Genesis to Malachi, God loves you. He's holy. Yes, he demands a judgment for sin, but the Messiah is coming and I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to loose his shoes. But I'm telling you something, with many exhortations I preach to you now, you're valuable to God. You're precious to him. And you mean everything so much. Listen, and perhaps in their minds, in time, two beautiful biblical realities would meet. From Jeremiah 31:3, their memory should have been aroused. For I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. It's a word that describes a loving God speaking to his people saying, I have disciplined you, I have corrected you, and finally now, after this rebuke, I have your attention. Now, I have drawn you, and I love you. Connected with John 3:16. They answer each other perfectly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Those two verses answer one another. So John is exhorting them to exhort watch, I've showed you this before. See my hand? It's to take the hand of discipline. And it's to rear back, and it is to spank. And it's to catch your rear end right at about that point. Are you with me? You guys see me? Can you see me? Right about there. Not here. Not at this part. God doesn't spank this way. Boom! And smashes you down on the ground. No, he positions himself perfectly when he exhorts someone, you and me. He goes like this and boom! Right there. Why? Because when he spanks you, your feet and everything come right up off the ground. He lifts you up every time he spanks you. He exhorts you. Come here, I'm going to exhort you. You did wrong. You've been rebellious. You haven't been walking with me. You've been a stinker. I still love you. You're all messed up now, and you're going to have to suffer for that, because not because of me, but because your mind's going to tempt you, and Satan's got these hooks on you. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to spank you with this word. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I loved you. That's what God does to us. And we walk along and, Lord, oh this, and okay, Lord, and all righty, Lord. If you'll just allow yourself to hear God speak to you, stand still and take it. Because he will be so faithful, Christian, if you're backslidden, to pick you up again. If you're not a Christian, he's so faithful to call out to you that you would give him the opportunity to mold and to shape your life. Let him, trust me, let him spank you with the spank of love. He's awesome. And he will answer the expectation of your heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Expectation of Every Man's Heart, a study taken from Luke chapter 3 and verses 15 through 18. It's part of our series through this New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are at the end of the year, and there's still time for you to make that tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio. In fact, Pastor Jack is right here to share with us a letter that reflects the way Real Radio is affecting the lives of other believers. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you. One of our listeners writes this, and it is a joy. In fact, I won't give his entire email, but I'll simply say that it's from G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And that's going to make a lot of sense in a moment. He writes, I listen to Real Radio on K-Wave, and that's right here in the Southern California area. He said, I'm a recruiter for the U.S. Army, so I have to do a lot of driving to pick up and drop people off who want to join the Army. And so when 1600 rolls around, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, he says, I turn on K-Wave and we listen, he says, in the car. And it's a great way to break the ice and to talk about the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Jack. And Mike, this is a great thing for us to be excited about, how Real Radio has become a missionary tool. Just like G.I. Joe talks about here, it becomes an avenue and an opportunity. So I want to encourage everyone who listens to Real Radio to pray about supporting a missions venture to reach others for Jesus. And you can go right to our website and find out more on how you can do that. So I wanted to share that. God bless all of you.
Okay, and that website is realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.